Hello, welcome everyone to the Security Task Force meeting of the Technical Steering Committee. Please abide by the Code of Conduct and the antitrust policy notice that I will show in a second.
Don't worry about that. That you've said enough.
Yeah. Okay, good.
No antitrust him. Don't do that.
All right. I'm just looking up the wiki page right now for the notes.
In the last week's discussion, we were talking about one of the open items that TSA brought up, right? So in terms of having concrete proposals. So the discussion tended towards, I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so the discussion tended towards having a strong measure, as in terms of, it's not a punitive approach that we are taking, it's rather, It's just an approach. It's a straightforward approach that everybody has agreed to in terms of making a standard process in how we disclose a vulnerability that is brought forward, right? So it's not going to be a punishment or anything through any project as everybody were concerned about. It's rather going to be an information disclosure process that we are embedding here. And in the previous meeting, we also went over each element within the OpenSSF. What was that security disclosure process, and we decided that Hyperledger should also have a place either in each repository within the security.md, or probably that security.md file points to a wiki page that's written elsewhere that lists this entire steps which follows the OpenSSF recommendation but tweaked to what Hyperledger can afford from that list, right? And we went through each and every item in that list and we discussed through them. We decided that we'll have that. So that's one of the action item that's pending on me. I took that action item because we went through that and then that still remains fresh. When I go through the list, I can... Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just saying...
Okay, so yeah, that's one action item that's still pending. I'll get it working. I'll get it in some time and then share it across to everyone on the TSA list and ask for the feedback, right? We can also get that in our agenda for TSC if there is a space for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that sounds great. Sorry that I couldn't make it last meeting. And okay, then what we could do now, at least start a document. Would be created right here under the Security Task Force folder.
So there are a few more concrete proposals that we can get forward apart from vulnerability disclosure itself. Mm-hmm. That we can discuss in this call and probably take action items to come up with those recommendations, right? So one direction that even Hart agreed to that we should take right now is have all the information compiled in one place that TSC will approve without any contentions. And if we think some of the elements that we are going to discuss is going to be like a contention is, it's going to have some discussion points, we'll bring them up. Not right now, but as a later edit. So given that understanding, I think the previous discussion was really helpful. And then in today, probably we can look over some of out of those 10 recommendations that are listed on the top. We'll pick up the remaining ones and come up with the concrete proposals for each of them, right?
Yeah, that also makes sense. Identify key contact points. Did we say anything about that in the proposal?
So we did say, for instance, there is one approved there is one approval from TSC already in terms of having a key contact point from each team, each project team, so that they take care of at least they are the initial contact point for that particular project in case anything is needed from a security standpoint. So only that much has been approved. But in terms of what is going to be their role, or do we have more responsibility on them apart from they being the contact person from the team, that's something not defined. But one of the OpenSSF recommendation is that each community in each open source community have their own a security process, right? So we do have a security mailing list. And OpenSSF recommends that we have a group like that, but we need more representation in it, more proactive representation in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of dependabot alert, if I remember correctly from the TSA call, the ask was that we put a statement or we put a requirement stating that each project should follow the vulnerabilities that are reported through some means. Does not necessarily mean through a dependabot alert or something else. And the concrete proposal should capture the reason for doing it and like what is this impact if it is not done?
So should we add a separate item for dependabot from this proposal item where we say already that you have 90 days to fix it?
I don't know what you think of it. Do we? So one of the other concerns that was also brought up in the TSC call is that I think when we go into that direction of what is the impact if a project team does not follow this properly, so what is that we are really trying to do? Are we trying to just tell them that, hey, this is an issue, we will disclose it to end users? Or are we telling them, like, if you don't follow this, you do not have a place at Hyperledger, or I don't know what we are trying to do with it. So for most of the vulnerabilities, it makes sense for us to just disclose it in open and then let people decide how good the project is, right? And each project team will do their best to avoid that kind of a thing from happening. And from Hyperledger's point of view, the thing is that we need to be really careful on which projects we call as graduated ones, because we don't want to end up having projects that is really not following a good security practice, right? And which is impacting production deployments, which has vulnerabilities disclosed in open and which people can read through. So I don't know. It's a sword, double-edged sword.
I definitely wouldn't tell them that they don't have a place in Hyperledger.
Could I share my screen for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
So this is part of the LFX platform, which is available to anybody. that has an account, which is anybody. So this is the indie. I mean, so you can see, if you look at, you know, this shows you the types of vulnerabilities that are out there. And if we take, I don't know, Cactus. Oh, it's not going to let me do the thing. Anyway, here's Indy. It shows you, you know, what are the vulnerabilities? What's the dependency tree? Let's see. I'm going to pick critical. And it didn't find any criticals. Anyway, so these types of tools are not only available from the Linux Foundation, but they're widely available. So I don't know that threatening disclosure, I mean, it's not like we hold the keys to the kingdom, right? So that's all I was trying to say is there are a lot of tools out there that are free that people can use to find these before Hyperledger has a chance to act.
Yeah.
But I thought the person who's going to raise that as an issue, they can still be negotiated, right? Until they make it publicly visible.
Oh, well, okay. So you're talking about a reported vulnerability. Okay. I misunderstood. So.
All right. So for the reported ones.
Yeah. Ignore what I said.
Right. I think I probably mixed up two things. So for the auto alerted things that we just were talking about, something like Dependabot, that's anyway public, right? And I know right now it's not publicly visible for any of the Hyperledger repos, but people have ways to figure it out. Like literally they have the version numbers. They can know if that version has an issue. Or like another easiest option to know that is just clone the repo, push it to some private repo, I mean, push it under their name. That's probably another way, like GitHub will auto flag it, right? So that's fine, that's one way. But I would be more worried about, apart from the Dependabot alert, I would be worried about the vulnerabilities that are disclosed. If people know that there is a vulnerability and people know that it can be exploited, they will definitely try to do it. And if a project thinks that they have to be graduated, then they need to be really working towards having those production issues resolved as soon as possible. If that's something affecting many production deployments, they're not solving it, then there should be some punitive measures for them. And the reason why there should be punitive measures is just because the consequence, if not done, will come to Hyperledger, right? So it's like Hyperledger being an open source community is not doing anything. It's just providing the space for any project which is not following these things. So at the end, people will not say, like, project A did not do this, project B did not do this. They will say Hyperledger has issues, security issues. Like, that's probably the last thing we want to have.
Well, we could tie it back to the security badge that is already in the proposal. You know, if you fail to act in time, we take away the security badge that you have. And then it is something of a punitive measure because you can no longer claim that you have the security badge. And so people will see that they shouldn't be using your project because it's not secure. I feel like that's something that reasonably almost everyone will agree without even asking any other questions. But if we go for harder punishment, like taking away their graduated status, then some people will be against that. So if we want to go with the ideas that the TSC will likely be able to reach consensus on and approve, then I would say we can tie it to security badge.
Badge itself was contentious in the TSA call, as I remembered, because people were asking, the proposal here is to get things working, not towards badge. If you're introducing badges, then how do we name them? Should we have all the projects given a badge, even if before they follow any process? What if there is no CVE reported on any project? How would we rate them? Then we end up with different status for each badge. And I don't know. So it takes its own direction, right? So we are then not talking about single status or single badge. We are now talking about status-specific badges. And if we go take that route, then it has no significance. It's as equal to like every project has some badge for some reason, which is creating more confusions, not solving any further questions, any issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the badges themselves are not going to be there or not in the way we hoped, then that's a different topic. Well, then the only thing I can think of is, if you're bad with addressing vulnerabilities, then we downgrade you from graduated to incubation. Or maybe we call it some other state to signify that you have fallen from the top. But I definitely wouldn't want to threaten them to get kicked out of the organization. I think a lot of people won't support that.
So, I mean, we can keep this as a low priority recommendation, because the moment we recommend this, everybody will pitch in and then say, hey, no, we are making it too strict within IPA Ledger to do something. It feels like all these measures are being put to reduce the number of projects. And like we do, I'm sure like existing projects that are living for a while, they may not feel happy about imposing additional process in place. So maybe we can consider this as a low priority item for now. I mean, in terms of the proposal from the task force, but definitely something we have to discuss. But the initial proposal can skip this part, especially the punitive measurement part. Do you have any ideas on how do we enforce somebody from fixing dependent abort alerts?
Well, that one could be automated, because dependable is a tool itself. So focusing on dependable, we could have a tool that looks at the vulnerabilities that dependables has found, see if they've been addressed or not, and they just start sending emails to their actual mailing list, not the security mailing list, after the grace period of 90 days.
So there is no rule we can impose, like which will make people to start fixing them. It's probably just a recommendation which we can make. Hey, there are tools that are available and you can avail those tools, right?
Yeah, but what we can do is make them more aware, so that if in the event of a vulnerability getting exploited because they didn't fix the dependable alerts, they don't have the excuse that they didn't know Dependable existed or something like that.
Okay. How about then? How about any other concrete proposals that we can think of for now?
Looking through the list. Explore alternative for using the mailing list to report security issues. What are our alternatives? Are we talking about the tools here, like HackerOne and the other ones, or something else?
Alternatives. I think it's more about how do we make it streamlined, right? In case of anything gets reported. How do we streamline it? How do we bring it to attention of somebody who is working in a specific project? And how do we get a proper response back? If at all we have to become a bridge from Hyperledger, how can we help to become that bridge?
No, I'm usually against doing manual things, but this is the rare exception where I will say having someone in charge of keeping an eye on the mailing list and bugging maintainers to address reported vulnerabilities would be a good idea. Even if the addressing is just by saying, oh, I disagree, this is not a high severity issue, it's just a low severity. But bottom line, yeah, somebody should sort of make sure that reported vulnerabilities get addressed, as in responded to by the maintainers. And I would be very specific about saying that we don't prescribe what the response is, but they have to acknowledge that they've seen it and then describe what their resolution is going to be, if anything. So they just have to show, you know, signs of life. And this all again just goes back to the idea that if we at least make sure that people are aware, they will be less likely to forget it or ignore it, because they know that if the vulnerability turns out to be something big and bad, then they won't have the excuse of, oh, I didn't know because I didn't see the mailing list, or I didn't get the notification, or anything else.
Sorry, I missed this, Peter. What's the topic?
Hi, Howard. No worries. We're talking about reported issues, reported vulnerabilities, and how should we enhance the responsibility or the responsiveness of the maintainers on the mailing list.
Gotcha. And what was the suggestion? I'm sorry to jump right in. I just had a call that ended at 8:30.
It's all good. Quick TLDR is that I'm usually against manual labor, but in this one, I think someone should be designated to watch the mailing list and make sure that if a vulnerability is reported on the mailing list, then the maintainers of that project respond to it. And we don't prescribe what the response has to be. We don't even say that it has to be, oh yes, we will fix this. But they have to acknowledge that they've seen it, that they know about it, because then implicitly they're more likely to address it, because they know that everyone knows that they've seen it, so that they know about it, and it becomes harder to have excuses later saying stuff like, I didn't see the mailing list, I didn't get a notification, I wasn't aware of this for whatever reason, because it is documented that they have been made aware of it and they acknowledge seeing it.
Yeah, that's usually how I guess best security practices are supposed to work.
Yeah, the question is, who is going to be this person?
Well,
or people? Project should probably be a few people.
Yeah, it should be a few people, right? And I mean, I thought this should be a condition of being a project, is that you should have, you know, multiple people who are on the security list and willing to, you know, respond to security disclosures, right?
I was talking about having a few people who would watch these people to make sure that they do monitor the mailing list. And the reason for that is because I'm actually in violation of this myself to this day, because I have been added to the mailing list, but I'm still not getting the emails for some
reason. Oh, really? Well, that sounds like a mailing list issue.
I know. But, you know, the bottom line is, if you reported a cactus vulnerability today, I wouldn't see it. And I would feel like it's my fault. But also at the same time, of course, I would be like, well, the mailing list is still working.
Yeah, well, let's just get the mailing list working then. That seems, you know, that seems the easy vector there.
Yeah. Yeah, but also the point about the, like, the who watches the watchers, because I'm the watcher in this equation, and I'm not doing my job.
Well, I mean, but the list is filled with people on other projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are plenty. I think people watching the watchers is fine, right?
Well, then, so if someone reported a cactus vulnerability today, and then I of course I wouldn't respond because I don't see it. You think someone would message me directly saying, hey, did you see that?
Yes, that someone would probably be me, but
oh, okay.
I just added you to the list. I didn't see that you weren't a member of the, you weren't a subscriber.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I like literally just added you.
I was added years ago.
So, well, I don't know. there haven't been any Cactus things here. So let me take a look here. So here's who the members are. Mm-hmm. And I just added your Accenture address. So I don't know, perhaps you had your email bounced or something. I don't know why you weren't on it.
Yeah.
So I apologize. You're there now.
I remember we had someone back then whose title was security maven within the organization, but then they switched jobs.
Yeah.
I forgot their name, but I had multiple conversations with them and they said, yeah, I added you to the mailing list. You should get the emails.
Well, you're there now. Don't worry. So this list is relatively new. Now that you're a member, feel free to go directly to the archive of messages and see if there's anything interesting.
Okay.
There have been 36 messages in the entire time that this mailing list has existed. So don't worry, you haven't missed much.
Okay. And so you said archive, because I think before, it's another thing that I was told, is that for security reasons, the older messages are not visible anywhere. So in this new one, I can go and check the historical reports.
So those messages are not visible to non-members. Mm-hmm. They are archived. We haven't deleted any messages.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
Promise.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. All right, then I guess what I was talking about is not really necessary because it already is just there in existence. So we don't need to propose that. We can skip to the next one. Oh, and before we do that, sorry, but I have to go in 5 minutes because I also have a conflicting meeting. So I have to cut this one short, 15 minutes.
All right, Peter, thanks.
It's fine, yeah.
But what I wanted to ask is, do we have any information or do we have any budget for bug bounties? Because item number 6 talks about a bug bounty program. But then for us to discuss that, we would need to know, is there even a budget for that, or?
We do have a budget for that. It is not extremely well defined, and we're in discussions to sort of formalize the security budget. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even have a proper security audit budget, right? Mm-hmm. Historically, this was just who bugged the Hyperledger staff the most. Mm-hmm. So this is something that's a work in progress.
Should we put off discussing this ourselves until we know the actual details of how?
No, I think it's great. I think it's great to have people discuss this.
Okay.
You know, I think everyone would appreciate it if people like you all came up with the solution.
Okay, great. Well, I was thinking the bug bounty program could also be something that you get enrolled into as you graduate so that there's more incentives to graduate into active status. It's just a cross-cutting concern from other discussions, basically in the TSC, where we were saying how do we incentivize projects to get active, and well, I guess what we need to make sure is that if we have a bug bounty program for all the active projects, then the researchers are let know upfront that the budget is shared among the projects? Because I assume it will be. I assume the foundation will have one pool of money, and then if that runs out, then that's it.
I don't know. We haven't like explicitly thought about, you know, if one project does some, you know, has a bunch of egregious bugs and drains the bug bounty program or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, my thing there is just to make it very clear to researchers what they can expect and they cannot, because there was this one person in Cactus who sent PRs fixing some really trivial stuff, like something that the code scanner highlights as a low severity vulnerability, and they fixed it legitimately. But then they were saying, oh, where can I collect my bug bounty? And I had to tell them, well, I don't think we have one. I don't know where you read about it, but if you read about it somewhere, I assume you read about it somewhere, then there probably should have been a little more information there that would have let you know that just because you fixed this automatically highlighted warning in Cactus, you not necessarily are getting some payday.
I know exactly who you're talking about, and he has been a thorn in my side as he runs around. And I mean, the bugs are real, but he's constantly like begging for non-fabric payout. And it's like, buddy, I've told him a million times, no, this is not a fabric issue. You don't get paid.
Yeah, then you know about it. You've seen it on the pull request as well. Yes, I remember now. Yeah, I mean, if it's just a one-off issue with just one person, then maybe it's just a special case that we don't need to address. But that's what gave me the idea that we should somehow make it clearer so that this just doesn't happen to begin with. But I don't really know. I don't even know where he got that idea from that Cactus would have a bug bounty. That's the thing.
One thing that we could do is, and I know you're up against a hard stop, is we could have, we could propose modifying the security.md to say, we are not part of a bounty program or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a yay or nay explicitly there. And then that would settle it. If, like, I could just then tell him, we're not part of the bounty program, it's on the security MD file, check it right here. Sorry if you missed that. And then case closed. Yeah, I think that's a good actual proposal that we can put down. And I think reasonably the TSC would approve it. I'm sorry, I have to go to the next call. I'm late already.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Peter. Great. So, that was a good discussion. So, Hart, before you joined in, I was just giving a summary that in the previous call, we went over the OpenSSF recommendation for vulnerability disclosure. And that also spoke about the things that we can put in our proposal right away, except for those factors that relate to the contentious items, right? So that's still an action item pending on me, which I'll get it rolling. And we started discussions on the dependent abort alert and how we enforce that such things, the automated alerts are fixed by the team. So it's most not likely going to be a enforcement. It's rather going to be a recommendation saying that here's a tool that will allow you to fix some of them automatically. And here are the automated tools that would help you in keeping your project up to date in terms of best practices to be followed. Mm-hmm. So there is no enforcement as such that we can enforce from the TSC. It's probably a recommendation. Right, at least for the automated alerts. But for the vulnerability, as we discussed last time, the initial approach is to just get the non-contentious things approved by the TSC and then bring in the tough sanctions on the projects
that
are not
great. Start with the easy stuff and then move to the hard stuff.
Right. And I guess just before, just when you joined, the topic moved on to the mailing list and how do we have those reports monitored?
Mm-hmm.
And now we shall continue. So the approach or the discussion in this meeting is still going to be the same thing, that we come up with the concrete proposals that the TSA requested. We just go through rest of the items listed here. Out of these 10 items, whichever you want to pick up, we'll start working towards it.
Okay, sounds good.
So probably which one could be the next thing that we take a stab at? So since we were on this topic, shall we put up a proposal that says that modify the security MD, and if you want to be in the bug bounty program, then work with Hyperledger team. If not, then mention this line within your project.
That we just need to figure out the budget. That's probably the biggest issue there. I don't think it would be an issue, but we just need to make sure that works. And I liked Peter's suggestion that we should tie it to graduated projects.
Makes sense.
And we would need to come up with general guidelines. Like if you look at, the Geth bug bounty, like various different bug bounty programs, they have general outlines and you say, this kind of bug gets you this and so forth, right? And so we would probably want to publish something like that just so we didn't get people arguing with us over how much they should get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, they argue less. They'll still argue.
So wouldn't that be a staff decision as opposed to what TSA can enforce?
Well, it probably ultimately, I don't know what kind of money we're talking about. It would be a staff or a governing board decision, right? But wouldn't hurt to get feedback from people to see what they thought, right?
Mm-hmm. So shall I have an action item on you to get some more information figuring out on this topic so that clear? And the proposal is still the work that for graduated projects, there is a bug bounty program, but the details of it is to be figured out later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fine.
So do we want to consider one of the item that came up in the TSC discussion when we were talking about the bug bounty program was in terms of how active a particular project is or should, and where people started commenting on in terms of writing research papers to cover up that, right? Or paid research papers to cover up those aspects.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Know. So when we were discussing this particular topic
mm-hmm.
of bug bounty programs, and I guess there was a comment made by somebody to have this as a metrics measured in the quarterly reports. And then there were a few other discussions, I think, that also happens regularly, where people started saying, what if this becomes a paid research paper that is written on a specific project? And mm-hmm. if those items were considered in our quarterly reports, should we
I don't know, like the direction went somewhere else when this topic was being discussed.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know how we would want to handle this for quarterly reports. And we could put, like, one thing that we could do would, you know, just to put general metrics, like, so, like, you know, are things outstanding, right? How many vulnerabilities are outstanding and what sort of status are they being fixed, right? So you don't necessarily have to say what they are, but you could say, like, you know, this quarter we had, you know, 5 vulnerability reports and, you know, 3 of them were handled and then 2 of them are being done with this or something like that, right? I know that's very vague, but, you know, something like that might work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, if you look at the Hyperledger HackerOne public activity, you'll see that for Fabric. And I was just showing earlier in the meeting, I don't have it up right now, but the LFX security product has a similar thing that's available.
Yeah, so we can definitely, I think, do something like this that will, you know, catch people's attention if there are reports not being followed.
So we are saying
they're saying what?
But the problem, sorry, I was about to write a concrete proposal on in terms of what to expect in the quarterly reports. But the bigger question is, as you pointed out last time, there is no, it's not one place that we should be monitoring, right? So people can disclose vulnerabilities in any forum that they like or anywhere that they like. It's just that we are saying them in case you want to. In case you have an issue, then follow these best practices, be a good Samaritan in the community. But it's up to them on what they do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess eventually we want to sort of codify best practices, but, you know. So. Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, yeah. I was just waiting for your response.
No, I was just thinking. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of stuff we need to do.
I understand. No worries. We are 3 minutes left for us to start looking into the scorecard right away. But that's another topic we definitely should start looking into.
Yeah, well, the scorecard should be more straightforward. And we can just do that, right? We don't necessarily have to attach anything to it initially.
Is it just a bunch of questions that team has to answer?
Yeah, pretty much.
Get a score for it. Okay.
And that's easy because we can just tell people that they have to do it. Or we just post it, right? And if they don't do it, then it's like they get an automatic 0%, which is presumably not what they want on their project website. So.
How do we report this result scorecard? And is it through a badge or is it?
Yeah, I think there's an OpenSSF way of doing it. I don't know what they have currently, but. I would be surprised if they don't have some like nice format, then we should probably complain.
Listen. Okay. I will look into it and figure out where to find the document. Sure. So I think like there are two actions pending on me. One is on the disclosure process. Other one is on the scorecard in that case.
Sounds good. Awesome. All right. Well, I unfortunately need to go for this next meeting.
Yep.
So.
Not an issue. Yep. Thanks.
Yeah. Have a great rest of your day. Talk to you later. Thank you.